Thank you, John, for leading us in those songs. I too welcome everyone here this morning. Trust that we've gathered to get a fresh look at God and His Word this morning. Ephesians 5, verse 14, "Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." I imagine many of you can relate to the following scenario. You've been driving, you're on a road trip, you're driving at night, and you've been behind the wheel for quite a while, and finally you realize it's just no longer safe for you to be behind the wheel, so you trade off. Now you're over in the passenger seat. You're gliding along, you're going, your other driver has the cruise control set at 70. You're finally able to relax and you're just settled back into your seat and you're dead to the world. If all at once you hear the noise of rumble strips underneath the wheels, and especially if there's a lurch and a loud exclamation from the driver, you have abandoned your sleep very quickly. Suddenly he has all of your attention. The situation you're ready to address, because this situation could profoundly affect the outcome of that journey that you're on. Ephesians 5:14, "Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." If you want a title for this meditation this morning, it's "Awake, thou that sleepest." Let me paint another word picture. You're sleeping peacefully without a care in the world. All at once your reverie is broken, not with a sudden noise, but with a sudden silence. You're at Calvary Bible School in class. Your teacher's voice has been droning on and on predictably for quite a while. Presently it falls silent. You're waking and your foggy brain is trying frantically to reconstruct his last phrases. You seem to think you heard, "So Lowell, what do you think about that?" That's not a good feeling either. You know, there's many other less dramatic ways that we can be awakened physically. Periodically we have spiritual awakenings. I can't speak for all of you, but I assume that the experiences I have in my life aren't that unique to me. I tend to get lethargic. I tend to get lazy. I tend to get in a rut. Life is kind of on cruise control. The hum of the tires has kind of put me to sleep. Perhaps we're not involved in overt sinning, overt transgression, that kind of thing. But somehow we know that in God's fire, we're that charcoal off to the side that isn't glowing anymore. So how do we recognize spiritual lethargy, spiritual laziness in ourselves? How do we respond? How do we keep it from happening again? Throughout history, I think man has grappled with life, with the meanings of life. I like some thoughts that Longfellow has in his poem, A Psalm of Life. The second verse of that poem: "Life is real, life is earnest, and the grave is not its goal. Dust thou art, to dust returnest, was not spoken of the soul." A big step to combating complacency, to being awake and alert, is just to recognize our mortality. To recognize our mortality. Moses, in Psalm 90, very helpfully addresses the subject of men's mortality, and I would like to read that psalm in its entirety this morning. Psalm 90. Verse 1, "Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, Return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are as but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger, even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. Verse 12, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Moses lived a full life, 120 years as I recall. It was a busy life, yet even for Moses it was soon cut off. A good long life, 70 years, perhaps 80 years, a strong person can live, but still it's like grass that's cut. It's cut and it's withered. Those are some general guidelines to life. 70 years, 80 years, even today, that's not so far off of reality. But we don't really have any guarantee. That's precisely what it is that makes life serious, that makes life real, that makes life earnest, because we don't know. Newspapers regularly carry the obituaries of people who have died, who have left this life. December 31, 2014, I'm the age where I often scan the obituaries to see if I have connections, know people that are listed there. The last day of last year, there was the obituary of a person by the name of Clementine Schmidt. This was a lady from Hugoton. I didn't know her. She was born in July of 1914. Now, she finally died on December the 29th of 2014. She was 100 years old. Imagine a person that was born maybe 6 months before World War I started. 100 years. We say Clementine lived a full life. On that same page of obituaries was an obituary of another person. Her name was Savannah Hope Gigieri. She had died on December 30th. I didn't know Savannah either. Whereas Clementine was born a century ago, lived to be 100 years old, Savannah died on the same day that she was born. The obituary gave her age as 20 minutes. You know, with our limited earthly perspective, we see a tremendous disparity between the life of Savannah and the life of Clementine. 2 days ago, we got the death message, I think it was 2 days ago, of Renita Gingrich, Sharon's sister-in-law, 50 years old, halfway between those two ages. 100 years, 50 years, 20 minutes, in the context of an endless eternity, there may really not be that much difference. All three lived but a brief time. The days of our years are 70 years and 10, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. 70 years, 80 years, 100 years, 20 minutes, each one of them soon cut off, and we fly away. Recognizing our mortality, I think, is key to us being willing to combat the complacency, the lethargy, the sleepiness that we tend to find coming into our lives. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Point two, if we would be wakeful, we need to listen when God speaks. I think of a beautiful story back in 1 Samuel 3. Little Samuel there had been in the service of Eli, in the service of the Lord. He'd been dedicated to that service. And there he was, apparently ready for bed, and he heard his voice. And he assumed that Eli was calling him, so he pops up to go find out what Eli wanted. But Eli didn't want anything. Went back, this happened like 3 times. Finally, Eli says, next time that happens, this must be the Lord speaking, is my words. You say, speak, Lord, for your servant heareth. And there was Samuel. He was in a position where God could speak to him, and he gave a message. It sounded like the messages weren't coming to the children of Israel at that time, but God was able to speak to Samuel. Samuel was a wonderful little boy, I assume, young lad, that was given to the service of the king. He didn't have a lot of the distractions. You know, it's kind of sobering to think of God being able to speak to his people or speak to us through the life of young people, young children. I'll agree, sometimes I can be a little discouraged, I'll admit, be kind of discouraged when I see the society today and the youth of today with all these things hanging from their ears and whatever you can imagine, that surely they couldn't hear the voice of the Lord. He couldn't speak above all of that noise and that intrusion. And we can be kind of self-righteous as we look at society and youth. But you know, for us older people, it can be the noise of our tractors or our saws or grinders or welders that can drown out the voice of the Lord as well. Samuel, he was able to hear the voice of the Lord. He was able to listen when God spoke. Thirdly, if we are going to benefit from God's wake-up calls, we need the help of others. I was looking again at the story when the Israelites were facing the Amalekites. When things were kind of grim, when Moses was able to lift his hands up, it was like the tide of it turned toward Israel. And when his hands got tired, it was like the tide turned the other way. Aaron and Hur were able to stand beside Moses and help lift those hands up. And as they did that, Israel was victorious. We need the help of our brothers and sisters. It's harder for some of us to admit that we need help than it is for others. I imagine some of you that are about my age can relate to this kind of a scenario. Maybe you found a wonderful washer and dryer advertised on Craigslist in Wichita. So you decide you're going to go and buy that. Your wife and you are driving together and you're going along. You've been circling about 3 times where you thought this was supposed to be. And where you want to be and where you are, you're not quite sure where the relation is between those 2 points. And you try to reconstruct it. Maybe you pull off and kind of go over those written instructions that you kind of scrawled on the back of an envelope before you left home. Should be here, should be whatever, but you're about ready to go try it again. But you're going to try the same thing that hasn't worked the other 3 times. About then, your wife has kind of a ridiculous idea. She says, why don't you just go up to the C store and ask them where Volusia Street is? And I don't know why, but for some people, it's hard for us to admit that we're lost and that we need help. And I think spiritually, it's important that we're willing to admit that we need help, that we need the help of others, that we need the encouragement, the strength of the brothers that are there to hold our hands up. This morning, God may have gotten your attention, perhaps with a sudden noise in the quietness, or perhaps it was with a sudden quietness in the midst of noise. Good intentions, personal ambition, are often not enough. Foxhole conversions, though sincere at the moment, may not be sustainable for the long haul on their own. Our own resolve often fades after the crisis passes. That's where we need our brothers and our sisters. If God has spoken to you in the past, or if he speaks to you, enlist the help of a brother or sister to be accountable to check up on how you're doing. different circumstances bring us to the point of getting our attention. God's hand on our shoulder comes in different ways. I think God has spoken to me in the past weeks, nothing particularly dramatic, but I want to benefit from his way of getting at my attention, and I want to move forward. If God speaks to you, I encourage you to do the same. Life is real. Life is earnest, and the grave is not its goal. Dust thou art, to dust returnest, was not spoken of the soul. Let's kneel in prayer. Dear God, we thank you for your goodness this morning. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for the ways that you get our attention, sometimes even in unpleasant ways. But we realize that of our own selves, we tend to get lazy and we tend to fall asleep. We just confess that we need you. We need you even more than we realize. And just pray that you would minister to the needs of our souls, minister to the needs of our hearts. Pray for every part of this service this morning, the Sunday school hour, the one who brings the message. I just pray that we could be edified and we could be fed as we wait on you. Dear God, wake us where we've been sleeping and make us alive and active in your kingdom. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.